This is Dwayne Norman, and you're listening to Victory in the Word again. Hey, I wanted to mention, too, that if by chance you're ever in the Lexington, Kentucky area, I know this is going all over the world, Lexington, Kentucky in the United States, but if you're ever in the Lexington, Kentucky area on a Monday night at 7 o'clock, we have what I call the Victory in the Word Bible Training Service, like a church service. Every Monday night when I'm in town, if I'm not ministering, if I am ministering, I'll always advertise it on Facebook to let people know that we're not going to have the meeting. But every Monday night from about 7 till maybe just 8:30, not a long time, but every Monday night at 7 o'clock in the Hamburg area of Lexington, just right close to Interstate 75 over there, we meet and have what I call a Bible training service. It's called Victory in the Word Bible Training Service. Also, if you would, if you get a chance, go to Facebook. If you go to Facebook, go to our Facebook page. Remember, our website is DwayneNormanMinistries.org or .org, but our Facebook page is just Dwayne Norman Ministries, and Dwayne is spelled D-W-A-Y-N-E, Dwayne Norman Ministries. But if you go on Facebook and type in Dwayne Norman Ministries, our page will come up, and if you'll like our page, just find the like button and like it, then you'll be connected, obviously, to our page. So every time that we have our Monday night services, our Victory in the Word Bible Training Services in Lexington, Kentucky, and every time that Lee and I have a meeting that we go to minister, I always will advertise those on my Facebook page. I'll put them on as events. So if you've liked our page, then I would think you'll be notified so you can kind of keep track of what we're doing and where we are and where we're ministering, praise the Lord, and some of the things that we're teaching as well. So I hope you do that. I hope you go to Facebook and like our page. It's Dwayne Norman Ministries. Glory to God. Well, in teaching on the mystery like I've been doing, I told you that I wanted to take a little time to share some thoughts about suffering. What are Christians to suffer and what are they not to suffer? And we found out that there are things to suffer. I mean, the Bible, but there are things that we're not supposed to suffer as Christians. So you can't just lump all types of suffering in one bag or just put it all in one bag. No, you need to define some things. The Bible says, again, remember, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, Paul said that those who will live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And it specifically says that. It didn't just say those who will live a godly life will suffer. It says will suffer persecution. So see, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus redeemed us from being persecuted. You know, Jesus didn't redeem us from people calling us bad names and trying to, you know, come against us for preaching the gospel. No. He didn't redeem us from that. See, we can walk in victory over that and walk in joy and peace through that. And God can turn that type of suffering, persecution, he can turn it around to work out for our good and his glory to help further the gospel through us. But we're not redeemed from suffering persecution. But we are redeemed from suffering sickness and disease and poverty and fear and doubt, depression and oppression, lust and sin, what the Bible refers to as the curse of a law and the law of sin and death. Remember, Romans 8:2 says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has redeemed us from the law of sin and death. We're redeemed, or has set us free from the law of sin and death. See, everything in the law of sin and death I'm free from, and everything that I'm free from, I don't have to suffer now. See, you never have to suffer something Jesus freed you from. And the Bible doesn't say he freed us from persecution. No, it says that we will suffer persecution. But the Bible does say by Jesus' stripes, we were healed in our bodies. That he bore all of our sickness and disease and freed our bodies from it. Now, we don't have to suffer that. So if somebody comes along and says, you know, I'm just suffering this disease for Jesus. No, Jesus had nothing to do with that. And Jesus doesn't want you suffering any type of sickness or disease because he healed you of them. See, that would be spiritually slapping Jesus in the face to purposely want to suffer sickness and disease when Jesus already bore it in his body, defeated it, and healed you of it. Again, like I've said, you know, if you committed a crime and had to go to jail for 10 years, but I went in your place, and after 10 years, I got out, and then you decided to go to jail for 10 years as well, well, that would be like slapping me in the face, saying what I did was worthless. I mean, I would not appreciate that at all, would you? I'd make a beeline to you and say, hey, what are you doing? I went to jail for 10 years for you, so you would not have to go to jail for the 10 years. If you decide to go to jail anyway, then you're saying what I did was worthless. And see, that's what Christians are saying when even if they're doing it ignorantly, but even if they don't understand it, when they say, well, this disease or this sickness or this pain or this poverty or this lack or, you know, these horrible things that I'm going through in my body and in my finances, you know, this horrible things where I'm dealing with in my marriage. You know, God's doing this to me to teach me something. No, Jesus already bore all that mess for you. He already defeated it, redeemed you from it, and freed you from it almost 2,000 years ago. Recognize what he did and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus, I'm healed. See, recognize what you're redeemed from, because see, the more you do, then when the devil attacks you with that, and he will, see, I'm not saying you won't be attacked with something you've been redeemed from. I'm saying you don't have to put up with it. You can resist it and it has to go. The devil will still try to attack you with things that God's already redeemed you from because he wants to see if you'll receive them. He's hoping you don't know you're free from it. So learn what you're free from. Learn what you're redeemed from, because those things you can resist and command to leave in Jesus' name, and they will leave. They have to go. But see, the Bible says, you know, that the righteous will suffer persecution. See, I can't stand up today and say, in the name of Jesus, I will never be persecuted again. No, that wouldn't be scriptural. Jesus did not redeem me or free me from persecution. But I can say, no matter how the devil tries to persecute me, I will walk in victory over it. I'll stay in love and forgiveness towards the people. Oh, and I'll experience God's supernatural joy and peace through all of it. And I will accomplish everything God wants me to accomplish. And no man and no devil will stop me from fulfilling God's will in my life. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah forever. Wow. Glory to God. So yes, even though once you learn what you've been redeemed from, the things you don't have to suffer, the devil will still try to make you suffer with it. But remember, it's not God doing that to you. See, that's where so many Christians in all of the world misunderstand it. They think God's doing it, and they try to make it sound spiritual. They think God's doing it because he has some type of higher meaning in life that they don't understand, and there's some kind of supernatural divine lesson that he's teaching you in it. All that's rubbish and garbage, unbelief, and unscriptural. If you're being attacked with sickness and disease, poverty, lack, fear, doubt, lust and sin, and depression and oppression, all those things are in the curse that Jesus redeemed you from. You need to run that stuff out of your life. You need to speak to that junk and say, leave me now in Jesus' name. I won't permit you in my life. Jesus redeemed me from you. I'm free from you. I have all power and authority over you, and I command you to go from me now in the name of Jesus. Get out of my life. Remember, God said in James 4:7, if you'll submit yourself to God and resist the devil will flee from you. Didn't say he might flee, he will, he has to. Because you have all authority, all power, and all dominion over him in the name of Jesus. So use it. Exercise your authority and power. Exercise your rights in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. But yeah, the devil will still try to attack you with the things you've been redeemed from. But when he does, see, you know that you don't have to put up with that. Now, if the devil tries to work through somebody to attack you with persecution, what that means to you is that you're on the right track. The devil's letting you know that he doesn't like what you're doing, that what God's doing through you is very effective and it's touching people's lives. And when that starts happening, then, of course, you need to recognize that the people that are persecuting you don't understand what they're doing. You forgive them, You forgive them and you love them with the love of Jesus and you pray for them. But you keep on preaching the gospel and trusting God that he will enable you to fulfill everything he's called you to do on this earth, and that despite the persecution, you will accomplish his will for your life. You know, that's what Paul did. I mean, when you read about all that Paul went through, you know, he lists in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 all the things he suffered. Not one time does he say he suffered any type of sickness or disease. Say, well, that thorn, remember? No, the thorn in the flesh, the Bible says that was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. It doesn't say it was a sickness or disease. A messenger, the word messenger in the Greek in which that was written is where we get our word angel. It was a demonic angel or demonic spirit. It was a spirit being. It wasn't a sickness or disease. But not one time in Paul's testimony does he say he was sick or diseased with anything. But he lists a whole lot of other bad things, all kinds of types of persecution he dealt with. The devil working through people trying to stop him from preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Now, I want to get back over here to where I left off on our last broadcast. Remember, I was talking about those verses to you over in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 12. Let me read them again. The Apostle Peter said this. He's talking to all Christians here. He said, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." He said, don't think it's strange. And like I said before, that's what Christians will say. You know, as soon as they decide they're going to really serve God, live for God, the devil tries to stop them. He comes against them. And the first thing they'll say is, wow, this is really strange. I don't know why these bad things are happening to me. Well, I do. The devil's trying to stop you. He doesn't want you serving God. So Peter said, don't think it's strange. When you start getting attacked or persecuted for Jesus, don't think it's strange. Now, if the devil starts trying to put disease or sickness or poverty or lack, or like I said, any of the curse on you, see, again, don't think that's strange because, see, he's hoping you'll receive it. But that's something you can curse. You can curse the curse. You can curse that junk, command that stuff to leave because Jesus redeemed you from that in Jesus' name. But when it comes to suffering persecution, listen to what the Holy Spirit said that we need to do through the Apostle Peter here. He said, but rejoice. This is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. Listen closely. He said, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. See, he's not saying we're partaking of the sufferings of sickness and disease and poverty and the curse that Jesus suffered for us. No. You never try to partake of that because Jesus suffered that, defeated it, and freed us from it. We never have to partake of that type of suffering. Jesus did that for us, and it's done. It's over with and done for us. He's talking about persecution again here. He said, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with joy, exceeding joy. Wow. In other words, he's saying, if you and I will rejoice when we're persecuted for the name of Christ, then God's glory will be revealed. And we'll be glad with exceeding joy. See, what the devil meant to try to defeat us and to try to make us sad, God will turn it around so that God gets glorified and we become glad and filled with God's great joy. Man, that's good, isn't it? And he continues to elaborate on the very next verse. Now listen to verse 14. This has been one of my favorite verses that I've stood on for goodness over 40 years. And I want to explain it a little to you. He said this in verse 14, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. He said, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, reproach means persecuted, cussed out, ridiculed. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. The New King James Bible says, blessed are you. I believe in the regular King James Bible says, happy are you. But he said, if you are reproached, persecuted, cussed out for the name of Christ, blessed and happy are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Now, you know what? I think when Christians read that, many of them are going to might feel a little confused, because they'll say, "Well, I don't understand this." He just said, "If we're reproached," the word reproach is a negative word; it's not a positive word. Again, the word reproach means to be persecuted, cussed out, ridiculed, for somebody to come against us because we're Christians. But the Holy Spirit said, when somebody does that, because you're standing up for Jesus, you're preaching the gospel, you're speaking in the name of Christ Jesus, and he said, when somebody does that, you're happy. The Holy Spirit said, you're blessed. You're a happy person. Now, that's where I think I lose some Christians, because they're thinking, well, why would I be happy? You know, that doesn't sound like something that I'd be happy about. Well, he goes on to tell us why we're going to be happy. He said, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Now let me share this with you in relationship to witnessing. You know, my wife and I, we travel all the time and hold seminars in churches and Bible schools and teach and train believers and supernatural evangelism and what their ministries are and who they are in Christ and how to demonstrate God's kingdom on this earth in word and in the power of God. And when I'm teaching on soul winning, I like to bring out this point. Because when you decide you're going to start sharing your faith with others, when you decide you're going to start sharing Jesus with others and start witnessing to people, you'll meet people that want to hear what you have to say, and that's always wonderful when they do. That's refreshing, isn't it? When they don't cuss you out. And they want to get saved, praise God. Oh, I love those times where the harvest is ready to pick, the fruit's ready to pick. People are they're ready to receive Jesus. But you'll meet a lot of people out there that aren't ready to receive Jesus, and they don't like you. They don't like the fact that you're a Christian. They don't like you telling them about Jesus. And what's happened is, with a lot of Christians, when they've gone out witnessing, or even at work or wherever they go, if they start witnessing to somebody about the Lord and the people criticize them and call them names, then that particular Christian, you know, goes home kind of depressed and sad. But obviously, if they're witnessing to somebody and the person says, "Yeah, I want to receive Jesus. I want to be born again," and they get saved, then that Christian goes home happy and glad and just rejoicing in the Lord. Well, according to this verse, and you may want to go get your Bible out sometime and go back and read it and meditate on this verse. Remember, it's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. According to this verse, the Holy Spirit said that if you are reproached, which means if you're persecuted, if you're ridiculed, if you're cussed out for the name of Christ, you're a happy person. He didn't say you're sad. He said you're blessed, you're happy. So obviously the opposite would be true too. If you're not reproached, if the people receive Jesus, then you're definitely happy about that, aren't you? But so I want you to notice there's only two sides to this. Either they're going to receive Jesus or reject Jesus. Either they're going to persecute you or receive you. Either they're going to get saved or not get saved. So according to this verse, God's saying that if I'm witnessing someone and they don't get saved and say they cuss me and Jesus out, according to this verse, I'm supposed to be a happy person. And on the other side, if they do receive Jesus and they're born again, I'm supposed to be happy too. So what it's saying is I'm supposed to be happy all the time, isn't it? It's telling me that I should be blessed all the time. I should be happy all the time. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, you know, I can understand if I'm witnessing to somebody and they're excited about the Lord. They're receiving the word I'm sharing with them. And then they say, you know, they want me to pray with them and they get saved. I can understand, you know, that I would be blessed or happy about that, because that's what I went out there to do. So I'm thrilled. I'm glad for that. But why would I be happy if they cuss me and Jesus out, if they don't get saved? Well, first of all, you're not happy because they didn't get saved. You're not happy if they went to hell. No, I know you're not happy about that. But here's what you're happy about. Because, see, he tells you in the same verse 14. Listen to the last half of the verse. See, after he said, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed or happy are you, then he goes on to tell you why that you're happy, because even though you just got cussed out and ridiculed and persecuted. He says, here's why you're happy. It's not happy. You're not glad to be persecuted. No, you're not glad to be cussed out. Here's what you're happy about, though. He says, for or because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. He said, on their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, Jesus is glorified. Now, did you hear that? You may want to read that several times. What he's saying there is that let me give you an example. If I'm out witnessing to somebody about the Lord, if I'm on the street or in the mall or just, you know, even in a church service somewhere, just wherever I am, if I'm out talking to somebody about the Lord, doing a little witnessing, and, you know, and they cuss me and Jesus out and holler at me and ridicule me and you know, let me know they don't like me and they're not interested in hearing about Jesus, the Bible says that when I leave there, I should leave happy. I should leave blessed and happy. And here's why. Because the Bible says the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon me. Yes, on their part, he was blasphemed. But on my part, he was glorified. Now, let me ask you this question. Why do you live for God every day? Why do you go to church? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you step out in faith and witness to people knowing that they may criticize you and persecute you? Why do you do that? Why do you want to pray for people to be healed, delivered, and set free? Well, obviously your ultimate answer should be to glorify God, isn't it? Wouldn't that be our answer? We want to glorify God in all that we say and do as Christians, don't we? So if I'm actually going to actually have a specific time, say, where I'm going to go witnessing, maybe I decide, you know, on Thursday afternoon, I think I'll go spend a couple hours out at the park and go witnessing. Well, my goal for doing that is, my ultimate goal is to see Jesus glorified. Wouldn't that be your goal, to see Jesus glorified? Yeah, I want to see people saved, healed, delivered, and set free, but all that glorifies God too. So I'm going out there, and you may even pray that way. You know, before you leave to go to the park, you may pray and say, God, we just pray, Lord, that you'll just use us in a great way in winning the lost to Jesus, setting the captives free, bringing healing, deliverance, and the blessings of heaven to people. And we just pray, Lord, that through all that we're going to do, that you're going to do through us out at the park today, that the name of Jesus, Father, that you will be greatly glorified. So that's our ultimate main goal, isn't it? To glorify God, to glorify Jesus, isn't it? Well, according to this verse, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, this verse tells me that if I'm out at the park witnessing and I tell somebody about Jesus and they scream at me and cuss me out and let me know they have no interest in God and they turn around and walk off, as soon as they do, I can rejoice right then. Right then I can say, God, I am a happy person. I'm a happy person. Man, I'm so blessed, Lord. You say, why would you do that, Brother Dwayne? And here's what I would tell you. Well, based on verse 14, I'm doing it because Jesus just got glorified. Now, here's what you're probably thinking. You're thinking about the ugly words the person said to me. Well, that's not where he got glorified. Remember, there are two people out there. There's the sinner out there, but there's the Christian. There's me talking to the sinner. There are two of us in this conversation, right? Two of us in this event going on, this witnessing event. And according to verse 14, it says the reason that we're happy, even if we get reproached or cussed out for the name of Christ, is because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon us. See, on their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. So what he's saying there, I like to say it this way. Every time you go witnessing, every time you share the Lord with someone, you always win. See, if your goal is to glorify Jesus, then you always win. See, if you were here with me right now, I would probably say that with me. Say, I always win. I always win. Since my goal is to always see Jesus glorified, then in every situation, I always win. I always see that. Because, see, you know, if I'm talking to somebody about the Lord, you know, it's me and the lost person I'm witnessing to. Now, there are only two things can happen here. Either the lost person will reject Jesus, may cuss me out and leave, or the lost person will receive Jesus and be born again. Well, according to verse 14, the Spirit of God is telling you and me that no matter which decision the lost person makes, yes, we hope it will be to receive Jesus, definitely. But no matter what decision he makes, if he decides he wants to cuss me and Jesus out and leave, then the Bible says Jesus got glorified on my behalf. See, that's why I'm so happy. Because, no, he didn't get glorified on the sinner's behalf. It said in this verse, on their part, he is blasphemed. But remember, there's another part. There's my part, isn't there? And this verse says, but on your part, he is glorified. Wow. So see, that tells me I'm a winner all the time. If my goal is to glorify Jesus when I go witnessing, I can't lose. If I go out and talk to 10 people and all 10 people cuss me out, reject Jesus and leave, God got glorified 10 times, didn't he? Not on the sinner's behalf, but he did on my behalf. So I could go home after witnessing to 10 people. Now, I don't want to have to do that. I'm hoping to get somebody saved, of course. But I can go home after witnessing to 10 people. If I didn't lead any of the 10 to the Lord and they just cuss me and Jesus out, I can still go home happy and blessed, knowing that God got glorified. I can go home saying, God, I'm so glad that you got glorified on my behalf out of all 10 of those conversations. That's what I wanted to see, you glorified. And he did. See, that's why we should never, ever be sad again at witnessing to somebody. No matter what the outcome is, we should never be sad. Because 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14 tells me that I'm a winner every time. That no matter what the result is when I go witnessing, Jesus will always be glorified. Now, here's even better news. Now, if I'm witnessing to somebody and they're open to the gospel and they want to get saved and I pray with them and they're born again, now guess what? Jesus got glorified on their behalf and my behalf. So, of course, I'm happy. But if they don't get saved, guess what? Jesus still got glorified on my behalf. So either way, Jesus gets glorified every time I witness to someone. Every time I talk to someone. That's why God said you need to be happy and realize you're blessed all the time. Wow. Praise God forevermore. See, that's how you deal with persecution, my brothers and sisters. That's how you deal with persecution. Let me read that verse one more time before I have to close here. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed or happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Yes, on their part he's blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. Well, stay in the Word and do the Word every day and rejoice in the Lord always.